This podcast contains explicit material. Listener discretion is advised. And we are back with another mini text episode of The Joy of Text. I'm here with Dr. Batsheva Marcus, Clinical Director at Mays Women's Health, and Rabbi Dov Linzer, President and Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chovavei Torah Rabbinical School. Pesach is coming up, so we are doing a matzah-themed text today. Rabbi Linzer, can you share the text with us?
Sure. This is a famous one. It's a Yerushalmi, which, as we'll see, is also sort of cited by Rambam. And the Gemara in the beginning of the 10th chapter in Pesachim says that a person's not allowed to sit himself down for a meal on Erev Pesach because you want to eat matzah l'teavon, when you have like a very, you know, strong appetite. It makes the mitzvah that much more...
A hearty appetite.
What is a strong? Yeah, because, you know, it just makes the mitzvah that much more special and desirable. And in that context, you know, the Yerushalmi says here, Ma'uluchol mine kismin, ma'uluchol mine targime. How about just eating like snacks before the Seder night? And it tells a story that Rabbi Yehuda was got thirsty and he wanted to know if you can even take a drink on Erev Pesach. And the answer that he received was, Asur l'adam litom klum ad shetech shach. You can't eat anything before it gets dark. We don't exactly practice this. You know, we practice more about a serious meal. So then it gets to the part that's really relevant for us. And it says, Amar Rabbi Levi, ha'ochel matzah b'Erev Pesach. If somebody were to eat matzah on Erev Pesach before the Seder night, it's like having intercourse with your betrothed wife in your father-in-law's home. And the Yerushalmi ends, v'habala rusasav v'beis chamav loke. And we know that if a man does this and has intercourse with his betrothed wife, he gets lashes. And Rambam just spells out the logical implication. So Rambam rules, Asru chachamim lecho matzah b'erev Pesach. The rabbis forbade eating matzah b'erev Pesach. K'dei she heker l'achilaso b'erev. So it should be distinctive, the eating at night. Umishach matzah b'erev Pesach. And if somebody does it, makinoso makas mardus. You give him lashes, rabbinic lashes. And Rambam even adds, ad sheteitzei nafsho, to the point that even if it kills him. One imagines that he means until, but not up to that point. But quite a harsh punishment.
For matzah.
The Yerushalmi says it's like having intercourse with your betrothed wife, and one who has intercourse with his betrothed wife in the father-in-law's house gets lashes. So Rambam says if you eat matzah on Erev Pesach, you give the guy lashes.
Rambam's taking it very literally.
Very literally. So
My family took this very literally. Not literally. My family took this very seriously. Like we couldn't eat anything that might have had matzah meal in it before Pesach. Like
right.
A month before Pesach.
But a month, right. Some extended to a whole month.
We do a month.
Yes.
We did from Purim on. But also, like, I get the matzah, but there was like the matzah meal, like the, you know, like the kugel that you add the matzah meal to. Like, you did not touch it.
There are all these debates, right? Does it apply to egg matzah? Does it apply only to matzah that you could do the mitzvah with? Like, the whole question becomes if Shabbos is Erev Pesach and you have to have, you know, and you have to have like a meal on Shabbos, right? So, you know,
right,
right. So,
but, yeah. Well, let's talk about this analogy though. Why, what do you make of that? Like, why is it similar?
Well, I think the most obvious reason is what I said, that there's a sense that this is something that is sort of supposed to be special and wait for the right time and wait for the right night, even at both like things we associate with like the nighttime, the Seder. And jumping the gun, as it were, ruins the specialness of it and the right context of it. And maybe it's saying, you know, in one context it's a mitzvah, in the other context it's about, I don't know, pleasure seeking or your
although
desire
eating
gets
matzah.
The better of you.
Not so much about pleasure. I mean,
well, it is when you're hungry.
Yeah, it was actually, as you were reading the text, I was thinking, I'm hungry.
I think one of the things the rabbis will have done a few times that we've seen, both in texts that we've seen or not texts maybe we haven't seen, is that this idea of longing, they're like really good at this idea that longing is a really nice part of sort of sexual anticipation, right? Like they get that. They get that that's like, before you're married, not be, you know, it's like hard to not to be together without having any kind of sexual contact before you're married. This is another example of it. Like you'd be very tempted to do it because you're, but this idea that longing is like an important piece here.
Right. Mm. And I also think that the association of eating and sex, you know, two very prime drives.
Pleasurable, I was totally going to say that.
And there's also a lot of places where there are like those analogous ideas of, what was it? We did one episode about It's like the way you eat meat. Oh, like,
oh, right. Yes. Yeah, whatever yeah, compare of sex
cook
with
the meat, how you want to cook
look,
the meat.
And, you know, by Yosef, it says, you know, v'lo yadaitom umakim halechem asher hu ochel, right? That his master knew nothing about what he did except for the bread. And Rashi says eating bread means sort of sexual matters, you know? So that association of eating and bread and sex and so on.
I think they are great analogies. I do think they're great analogies. I mean, I often totally.
You talk about appetite, sexual appetite.
Yeah. When I'm talking to parents, I'm talking to kids about sex, and I'm joking around about the fact that you shouldn't have like one sex conversation with your kid because it's so absurd. I'll say, like, when you're talking to kids about nutrition, do you expect that to be one conversation? Let's sit down when you're 12 and talk about nutrition. No, it's like a part of your daily life, right? I love the analogy. I think the analogy works quite well in general.
Yeah, I also think that it's very powerful comparing it to a man's betrothed wife, which is legally his wife and it's permissible, but somehow what makes it impermissible and inappropriate is not the right setting, not the right time, and so on. It didn't say it's like having, you know, sex with an unmarried woman, obviously talking from the man's perspective, right? So matzah is halachically permissible on Erev Pesach. Chametz is what is forbidden, right? But it's saying that even though the act is itself permissible, there's a real power when it comes at the right place and at the right time, and that can really be robbed, you know, and preempted, and it undermines, you know, we were talking another episode about saving yourself for marriage, you know, here's in a very narrow sort of context of that, but making the wedding night special and making the sex in the context of marriage rather than in a different type of a context, even if it's the man's wife, you know, in a technical sense.
I'm rereading a book from one of the best thinkers and writers about sex, Jack Marin. He wrote a book called The Erotic Mind. I highly recommend it. I'm rereading this book, so it's on my mind quite a lot. But he talks about what he calls the erotic equation, which is attraction plus obstacles equals excitement, right? So if you have an obstacle but you're not attracted to the person, or then nothing will happen. But if you are attracted to somebody and some kind of obstacle gets in the way, of any kind of obstacle, it could be time, it could be place, then that is what creates excitement. And I feel like this is a really lovely example of this.
Nice. How do you feel about that in the matzah context? Does not eating matzah for a month before heighten the expectation for Seder night?
So I like matzah the first night of Pesach. After that, it gets old quickly.
But do you feel it got heightened because you weren't allowed to eat it the month before?
I think it definitely gets heightened because I can't eat it the day of, right? Because I'm cooking with it. So it's making me very conscious of the fact that it's something that I can't have. I do think often we want something we can't have.
Right. Yeah. Right. Also, you can't have bread either. So,
yes.
Like, that really, like,
right. That's
it,
that Erev,
you know,
Pesach,
like,
problem, yeah. that Shabbos
potatoes.
Problem. You know, I can't resist telling the story about Echad Ha'am. I think it was about him who, quote, you know that story?
I thought it was Yeshaya Leibowitz.
No. Not Yeshaya Leibowitz.
No? Okay, sorry.
I don't know if it was Echad Ha'am, but it wasn't Yeshaya Leibowitz. Anyway, the story is that he quoted this Gemara and said, you know, that eating matzah Erev Pesach is like having intercourse with your betrothed wife in your father-in-law's home. And he said, I tried both and there's no comparison.
Right, I also love that story. I think it's a great story. It's a little bit, what's the word?
Risque.
No, I wasn't thinking risque, like blasphemous. That story is a little bit blasphemous, yes. But it's a great story. Yeah.
The other thing to remember about this comparison is, I think a while ago, we read from the letter of the Stipler, who was talking about the importance to yeshiva guys about making sure their wives have pleasure during sex and, you know, treating this mitzvah seriously and not trying to adopt an asceticism that comes at the expense of someone else. And he said, look, he says, this is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, like the mitzvah of eating matzah. The same way we would be strict about the mitzvah of eating matzah, we should be strict about, you know, the obligations of marital sex. So that was another interesting
thing. Yeah, that is an interesting thing.
I still think that people, I have no problem being strict to make sure they do the mitzvah of matzah properly. And people often will be sort of the concept of being strict when it comes to issues of marital sex often might mean doing less and therefore coming at the expense of, you know, feeling that there are more restrictions. And therefore, you know, that's the comparison I make. I said, like, if somebody said, oh, we should be machmir for this or this thing, but it might mean it comes at the expense of you really fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah, you would say that's not a legitimate chumrah. But when it comes to the concern of we should be machmir for X, Y, and Z, it might come at the expense of your mitzvah of marital sex and doing that properly, people say, well, maybe we should be safe, you know. So I do think that there's a place for that.
Yeah. That's so great. Well, I think this will make people think a little bit differently when they eat matzah.
Totally.
We hope everybody has a
chag kasher
v'sameach. Stress on the kasher.
Why not stress on the sameach?
Chag kasher v'sameach. Enjoy your Pesach.
That is actually, think about it, we really want you to have a chag that is both kasher and sameach. Like, that's really important to us.
If you have questions or comments for The Joy of Text, you can contact us anonymously at www.thejoyoftext.org or send a regular email to joyoftextpodcast@gmail.com. This episode of The Joy of Text was recorded by Rabbi Yossi Pollack and produced and edited by Rebecca Honig-Friedman. You can listen and subscribe to The Joy of Text on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or any podcast app. And keep up to date with the latest news by following us on Facebook or Twitter. If you liked what you hear, please consider giving us a positive rating. Thanks for listening.